bring greetings to you. Name of Jesus, this morning we are blessed to be part of this worship experience and this worship service, and we like to welcome each one to the service this morning. Brother Vince traveled quite a while to be here this morning in foggy roads, and Sister Barbara's here, and the children, Andrew, and so forth. We thank you for coming. We're glad to see Ellie here again this morning, and it's been a little bit since she's been here, and we're thankful for that. Turn with me to Matthew 6. I hope you're not getting tired of the Lord's Prayer, but I've kind of enjoyed studying through the Lord's Prayer, and we are to the verse 13. I have one more sermon I want to preach on the last part of verse 13, but I would like to preach this morning on the phrase, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I titled this message, "The Prayer for Sanctification." I think there's much to learn from the Lord's Prayer, and the message this morning is certainly I have much to learn about this principle and concept that is right here before us. Verse 9 says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." My dear people, this morning, if you're a Christian, you have God as your Father, and that you will want to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The Christian is as concerned about the future and the present as he is about the past. The previous verse, Jesus said we should plead for forgiveness for our debts, and he ties it to forgiving our debtors. But the Christian has this propensity towards sin. We are living in the flesh. We are living in a world full of fleshly desires. We are living in a world that is set against the Christian. There is no doubt with the advent of technology and the smartphone and the computer and the internet, we are living in a world that is set against the Christian the likes of never before. I think it's important that we understand this great principle. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil is to be part of our prayer that we pray regularly, to be delivered from the evil that is around us and that the evil that is in us. I think most of us realize that there's evil in us, don't we? We realize that very keenly, that there's evil in us. That old nature is in there, and it is pleading to feed its lusts with the lust of the world. This word sanctification is an interesting word, but it simply means washing. Washing. We have a car, it gets dirty. My car is dirty this morning. It needs washing. It continually needs washing. Much the same as the Christian, we need washing. We need continual washing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. My dear people, this morning, if you're a Christian, you appreciate the fact that you can be sanctified, not only justified, made right with God, but that you can grow more and more like Jesus. Is that your desire? To be more and more like Jesus, to be the incarnation of Jesus. We are Christians because we act like Christ. Are you a Christian? I would like to say that this morning that it's much easier to be a Mennonite and a member of the Mount Joy Mennonite Church than it is to be sanctified. Just because you're a member of a Mennonite church doesn't mean you're sanctified. And if you're, it is very important, imperative criteria that we are sanctified when Jesus comes back again, or else we die. It is those that have worked through this process of sanctification that continue to refine themselves and grow more and more like Jesus, that have been partakers of the divine nature. I would first like to look this morning at the protection of the sanctified. You are concerned about your propensity to sin. You have a problem with sin. I about guarantee you that. That if you're a Christian here this morning, you have a problem with sin. When you become a Christian, God doesn't set you up on a shelf and said, you've done it. You no longer have a problem with sin. Or am I missing something? No, I don't think so. I think all of us are honest enough to know that you have a problem with sin. You like to get on the phone and you like to tell a rumor. You like to get your phone out and you glance at the sites that are there, those scantily clad, whatever is there, you like to look at them. Our nature compels us to, but we have this problem with sin. We cannot live in that. We cannot go there. We are concerned about sanctification, the ongoing process of cleansing. We see ourselves as sinners, saved by God's intervention in our life. He has truly delivered us from evil. But there's something that we have to do with it. He has truly delivered us from evil. Sanctification is the process by which we grow more and more like Jesus and become less and less like the world with its enticements and lusts. Many of us have questioned the construction of the verse and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm not sure either what to say about it, but I do know that temptation, God leads the Christian, we have been around temptation, and that we plead daily, continually, that he would lead us away from that temptation. God leads us to the place where we are to make a choice. He does not force you to be good. He takes you to the place where you must make the choice to be good, to be righteous, to be sanctified. James says it very clearly, and I'd like to just read from that. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's something about enduring temptation that has to do with the receiving the crown of life. I'd like to be upfront with you this morning that the Christian life is not a piece of cake. It's not a walk down an easy road. It's a journey through the valleys and temptations of sin. Let's get it straight. Let's be frank. We are exposed to the world. And the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 6 that he has these fiery darts that he fires at us. And I'm not sure exactly what those fiery darts are, but it's something to do with our spiritual being. And when he sees that I am weak in my thought life, he fires a dart right there. And he incites my lust. He fires a dart there. If he sees that you have a weakness and a propensity towards the love of money, he fires the dart there. There's this chance to make big money. There's this chance to get ahead. He fires the dart there. We make choices every day. We are volitional creatures. There is a choice we have to make every day about this thing of sanctification and righteousness and holiness and being like Jesus. We are volitional beings. We have the old nature within us, and we can be enticed to evil. That's all part of the Christian experience. But we also have God as a Father, and we love him. He has delivered us. Even though Christian allegiance has largely changed to worship and adoration of the Father, we are still in the world, and we are bombarded with the pleasures of sin. We are asking God in this simple plea, these few short words, that to keep us from temptation, deliver us from evil. This morning, if you're a successful Christian, it's not that you're perfect. It's that you know how to deal with temptation. Turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'd like to read a verse there. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many of you have ever escaped from a house fire? How many of you have ever escaped from a prison? How many of you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? The escape principle is very real. I know of a story of a house fire where a person escaped escape from the fire. But listen this morning, if you are going to be sanctified, you have escaped. You have gotten out of the predicament of sin, and you have escaped. The escape principle is very real. Galatians 1:4 says, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." This present evil world, it was evil back in Paul's day. How much more is it evil now? Who gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. 1 John 3 says that, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not." How's that for blunt language? The world doesn't know us, and we don't want to know the world. You know why? Because it didn't know Jesus either. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." We will see Jesus. We will be like him in spiritual content. "For we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." There's work to be done in the Christian's life. Purification. A continual process of purification to be more and more like our coming Jesus. Isn't that something? The Word of God is so clear. We try and explain it through our own voices and our own ways, but when the Word of God is read, it is so clear. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." You have a vessel. Brethren, you have a vessel. And you are to know how to possess your vessel to sanctification and honor. There's something you need to learn. Are you learning that? Are you trying to be more and more like Christ? Number two, the proving of the sanctified. Let's go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'm going to start, where should I start reading? Reading at verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." In chapter 1 and verse 13, this is, "I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother." I would like to take a smack at the current teaching that you need to go back and look at your ancestral problem, how you've been mistreated, how you've been, your genetics even, how your parents have been, and somehow peg that for the problem with your sin. According to James, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Not your grandpa's, not your dad's or your mom's, but you. And he said more than that, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Get it straight. This is the problem. It's you. Your lust has drawn you away. We live in an unsanctified, dirty world that is controlled by the spirit of the world, the devil. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. James says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I am convinced that the Christian faces something that we don't know. There are spiritual forces out there that surround you. According to Ephesians 6, that's the way it is, and I believe it. There's spiritual forces out there that surround you. And when you say to God, I am not going all the way, I am not going to be surrendered in this area of my life, those spiritual forces take over and they tempt you. Brethren and sisters, I would like to say more than that, that if you have a problem with anger in your life, for instance, if you have a problem with anger in your life, don't be successful. You don't expect to be successful in your battle against lust. Or if you have a problem with lust, don't be successful. Expect to be successful in your battle against anger. They go hand in hand in the protection of the spirit. Leaves when you say no. I believe these principalities, these rulers of the darkness, are present and surround the Christian at all times. But if the Christian is obedient to the word, they cannot penetrate the Christian. But if the Christian begins to contemplate and give some space to the darkness of the spiritual forces that are marshaled against him, and take up a strategy against the Christian and begin to tempt him and tantalize him. If we are faithful to the Spirit of God in his leading, we are protected. But if we are not sure, he surely will get an advantage over us. Are you sure? Are you positively sure that you want to be God's child? And do anything it takes to be that? If not, you can expect all kinds of problems in your Christian life. We have known sin in our life. It opens us up to more sin. To more sin. We have unforgiveness in our life. It opens us up to more lust. We have more lust in our life. It opens us up to unforgiveness. When we're critical, and we know it, it opens us up to a whole bunch of things. lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There's a real battle, folks. And this real battle is something that is raging in each one of us. But thank God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken us to you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. My dear friends, you are able, you are endowed with the ability to escape temptation, that ye may be able to bear it or stand. Don't blame others. So many of us want to blame others. Blame this, blame that, blame our environment, blame our weaknesses. This verse tells me that we are able to stand. We can stand. We are able to bear it. We are able to escape. Even though our carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But today, we can be sanctified. I'd like you to turn with me to Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13. This is a very special verse to me. I had a real vice in my life at one point, and somebody explained to me that if you understand what this verse means, that you'll be much more likely to have victory. The words of Romans 8:13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And my vice was taking me. I was so discouraged with the fight, the battle of against sin. And someone took me to this verse and said that if ye live after the flesh, if you consent to the flesh, you're going to die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And he said what that means in practical terms is that you're willing to cry out to God in the face of temptation, and you will have victory. And I started doing this. I started pleading with God in the face of temptation, and he eventually delivered me. It wasn't instantaneously, but it was a pleading with the Father in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. It was a constant pleading. And today I can test I've been delivered from this vice that I had. I'd like to look now for the rest of the time at principles for sanctification. And I want you to hang on to your seats, because there's some rough language in the Bible about this. The first principle is the first thing I want to do is ask you a question. How bad do you want to be sanctified? How bad do you want to be sanctified? It's a simple question. Are you satisfied with a casual attitude toward your Christian life? Are you casual about your Christian life? Have you the escape principle? Is that part of your psyche, part of your mentality? Have you escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Really, have you escaped? If you've really escaped, you've been delivered. There is nothing that will take you back into that house fire. I have some friends that I go visit regularly in prison, and they would love to escape. And if they escaped, they would be sure they would do everything in their power to not get back in there. Have you this escape principle? How badly do you want to be sanctified? Do you remember the captivity that lust once had on you? The guilty conscience, the knowledge of defeat, the many escape attempts in your own flesh by self-determination and trying harder. Do you remember that captivity? I do. My dear Christian friends, are you driving on the edge, so to speak? Where there you really don't know if you want to be God's child. Yeah, you want to be a Christian, but just about all your life is really, when it's all said and done, it's not any different than the man down the street. You live for entertainment. Yes, you might have Christian entertainment, Christianized entertainment. You might listen to Southern gospel, but it's still entertainment. You might not listen to the multi-million dollar pop stars, Taylor Swift, all those people, but you're still after entertainment. Do you really want to be sanctified? Do you really want to be sanctified and be more and more like Jesus? Are you entertained and feasting on the latest football and basketball stars who can effortlessly guide the ball exactly where they want and make millions of dollars and are idols? They're idols to the thronging millions of people who are willing to pay millions of dollars to idolize them. Are you part of that group? Sure, we're a Mennonite. We would never be at a Cleveland Browns stadium or go to watch Ohio State. But we can sure idolize the athletes and their successes. And we drink in the final scores moments after the game is over. Do you really want to be sanctified? If you really want to be sanctified, those things have got to go. They have got to go. Do we feed on the latest on Pinterest and set up the ideal house in our minds and we work and work and work and spend money to that end? Listen, if Jesus is on the throne in your life, no one else is. There can't be two. It's only one. So we need to decide. I'll tell you more than that. God does not sanctify people who do not care. God does not sanctify people who do not care. Do you care about your sanctification? Growing more and more like Christ. He is not going to impart spiritual power to people that just have a place reserved in time for a commitment, a place and time reserved for a commitment to Him. You remember the rich man who came to Jesus? He had reserved a lot of time to come to Jesus. He no doubt had a busy schedule. And he went up to Jesus and he said, I want to inherit eternal life. What should I do? And Jesus said, do the commandments. But you know the story. Jesus got right down to the nitty-gritty. And he told the rich young ruler, you must sell everything. Not only sell everything, but give it to the poor. Call the auctioneer, sell it out, and take the proceeds and give it to the poor. And the man walked away from Jesus. He had a place. I believe he came to church on Sunday morning. Maybe the Sabbath day, I'm not sure. Probably was. A casual Christian is a cultural Christian and really cannot claim the imparted power of God. It's either all or none. How bad do you want to be sanctified? God does not impart grace unless you desperately want it. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We are called overcomers, those of us who are sanctified. We are called overcomers, and that implies a battle. If you don't succeed in your battle against sin, keep trying. Keep praying. There is no room in the kingdom for the casual, unconcerned Christian. He is only fooling himself. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Verse 29 and 30. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Imagine how that would be. Your right eye, it's offending me, so I just take the gouger and I gouge that right eye out and I throw it away. Pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. How awful that might seem, to pluck out your eye. But if it is what keeps you, if your eye is what keeps you in sin and living in the lust of the flesh, it is worth it because it'll keep you out of hell. And if thy right eye offend thee, cut it. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Whatever it is that keeps you from being sanctified and more like Christ, get rid of it. smartphone technology, the love of sports, the love of the cultural arts. Throw it away. Throw it out the window. It's not worth missing heaven for that. It's not worth going to hell. Next one I have is earnest prayer in the moment of temptation. I did talk about that. But we have a Father that loves us, that wants us to come to Him continually and pray in earnestness. Don't give up on prayer. Be persistent. Friends, I'll just take one verse here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Are you humble and broken before Him? Are you praying and seeking His face? Are you willing to say, no, I'm the wicked ways that are in me and the wicked ways of the world, I'm not going there. God promises if you're willing to do that, He will hear your prayer from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal you. Finally, are you comfortable with the reaping that you will do? Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall faint if we shall reap if we faint not. Are you comfortable with the reaping that you likely will have? It's an unchanging, eternal principle of the Word of God, of God Himself. Do you know what reaping you will have? He that soweth to his flesh, the person that is controlled by the country music and the cultural arts, is sowing to his flesh, and shall of the you'll reap corruption. But he that soweth to his Spirit shall reap life everlasting. A huge difference. Corruption or life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep on day by day. Keep praying. Keep deciding what's important in your life. And keep worrying, keep thinking, keep contemplating the reaping. Are you comfortable with the reaping that will surely be yours? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. Crown of life. Somewhere up in heaven, there's a crown for me and for you. He's promised it, and it's going to be ours. if we endure temptation, if we are sanctified, oh God, help us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.